There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating. Shout, a new style is growing, but it don't know if it's coming or going. There is fashion, there is fat, some is good, some is bad, and the joke.
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
When Nicole Sandler sits down to do her show, she's the producer, booking the guests, pulling the audio, planning the show, the engineer, running the controls, troubleshooting any problems, playing the sounds, calling the guests, and she's the webmaster, writing the blog, posting the podcast, maintaining the website, not to mention the host, interviewing the guests, explaining the issues, giving opinions, and calling out the bad guys. And then you get the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
All right, welcome to a Tuesday. Oh boy, let me see if I can get this straight. What a weird few days it's been, huh? The latest on the Republican attempt to repeal and, well, sort of replace the Affordable Care Act, if I can put it into a timeline. Last week, we heard, you know, the details of TrumpCare 3.0, right? Mitch McConnell released, released the bill, all 147 or some odd pages of it. And we were waiting for a CBO score that we would have ostensibly by yesterday, right? We had heard Susan Collins was a no because of all the cuts to Medicaid. And Rand Paul was a no for the exact opposite reason, because it didn't cut enough, because it didn't completely repeal the Affordable Care Act. So that's where we were. And it looked like there were a number of other senators who were hedging on it, who were not, you know, necessarily in favor of it, but they all seem to be not wanting to come out and be the third person, because, you know, three was the number. Three is the magic number. It shall be three, not two, but three. Then over the weekend, we learned that John McCain had to have surgery to have a blood clot removed from above his left eye, and he would be out for at least a week. So Mitch McConnell said the vote would be delayed for at least a week until John McCain came back, because they needed his vote. Or as, let me see if I can get him up here, as old Dumpy says.
And I can tell you, we hope John McCain gets better very soon, because we miss him. He's a crusty voice in Washington. Plus, we need his vote.
A crusty voice? Anyway, I digress. So we learned John McCain, you know, was going to be out this week. So the vote would be delayed at least a week. Then we learned that the surgery was probably a little more serious than what they first told us, and he could be out more than a week. So once the vote was delayed, then the CBO came out and said, you know what, we need more time to score this atrocity known as the Ted Cruz Amendment. And since you're delayed anyway, we're going to take our time. So that was yesterday. We learned that we would not have, or over the weekend, we learned we wouldn't have the Congressional Budget Office score, and the vote would be delayed at least a week. Then last night, it was just last night, wasn't it? Like around 9 o'clock, I think. we got the news that Mike Lee and, who was it? I'm drawing a blank now. Mike Lee and, from Kansas. Come on, somebody in the chat room, give me his name. Damn it. I have it here somewhere written down. This is what Moran, right? Like moron, but Moran, Jerry Moran of Kansas. Thank you, Laffy. Said they did exactly what I spoke to somebody, I think it was Jonathan Cohn, about how nobody wanted to be the third person to come out and say I'm going to vote no on the motion to proceed, because they didn't want to be the one who killed the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. So Mike Lee and Jerry Moran did is they each tweeted at the same time that the two of them had both decided to be a no vote on the motion to proceed, ostensibly killing Trump Care 3.0. And so we thought, okay, it's dead. Ding dong, the bill is dead. But knowing these Republicans, not so fast, right? So what happens this morning? Mitch McConnell says, here's what he said.
The effort to repeal and immediately replace the failures of Obamacare will not be successful. That doesn't mean we should give up.
Oh, no?
We will now try a different way to bring the American people relief from Obamacare. Oh. I think we owe them at least that much. In the coming days, the Senate will take up and vote on a repeal of Obamacare combined with a stable 2-year transition period as we work toward patient-centered health care.
Yeah, so they're patient-centered my ass. So because they couldn't come up with a replacement plan, they decide, well, we'll just repeal it and we'll delay it for 2 years. So in 2 years, we'll come up with a new plan. Really? You couldn't come up with a plan in 7 years. What makes you think you can do it in two? So this is how it went today. Now, of the people who were out last time, Rand Paul, he's like, hell yeah, repeal, no replacement. That's what I want, because I'm an asshole. In fact, I'm such an asshole, they have a song for me.
I want to tell you a story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
Asshole.
It's a brand new story.
You can
about
sing.
The brand new world's biggest asshole.
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 His name is
Rand Paul.
And he's the new world's biggest asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So Rand Paul was out. Susan Collins says repeal and delay is not the way to go.
I do not think that it is going to be constructive to repeal a law that at this point is so interwoven within our healthcare system, and then hope that over the next 2 years we will come up with some kind of replacement. I think that would create great anxiety for individuals who rely on the ACA.
Me.
I believe it would cause the insurance markets to go into turmoil.
I don't think
it is the right way to proceed.
And Jerry Moron, yeah, he's another one. He said, oh, if we're just repealing it with no plan on how to replace it, yeah, I'm in. I'm good on that one. I'd play the asshole song again, but, you know, just sing it in your head. You got it. So that left us with one. Right? There was just one. Then Lisa Moore Capito came out and said, you know, this is not the way to go. Shelley Moore Capito from West Virginia. Now, a lot of her state is on Medicaid. And she said the same thing, that she'd oppose any vote to proceed with an immediate repeal of the Affordable Care Act without a replacement bill in place. So that left us again with two votes, two no's, and waiting for the third one to come out. Well, it looks like we got the third one, and it looks like the vaginas have spoken. Lisa Murkowski appears to be the third person to the third Republican senator to come out and say that she is a no on a motion to proceed. So that's good news. But Mitch McConnell is still saying he's going to have a vote one way or another. I'm thinking at this point he just wants to get it behind him and move on. Although, I put nothing past him. These people play dirty tricks. That's how they do politics, dirty tricks. And so they'll do whatever they can. So that's where it stands at this moment. They have three no votes, which is all it takes. Three is the number to kill the bill. Now, the repeal only, they didn't even need to wait for the CBO to score it, because they did in 2015. And Ali Velshi, I've become such a big fan of this guy. He did an explainer on the TV today. Now, you won't see the slides, but he did a good job of explaining why a repeal of the Affordable Care Act without a replacement would be even worse than any of the replacement bills they floated so far.
Before Obamacare, before the ACA, there were 57 million uninsured people in America. We now have 27 million uninsured. We have taken more than half of the people who had no insurance off the rolls. 26 million uninsured. If you were to remove Obamacare now and not replace it, 1 year later, 44 million people would be uninsured, because the penalties that are tied to the individual mandates will be eliminated and insurers will then leave the exchanges. Within 2 years, we will be at 53 million uninsured. This is the Congressional Budget Office, by the way. They put this out in January because this was being discussed. Medicaid expansion and the subsidies to Medicaid expansion would be eliminated. And by 2026, because we always look out to 10 years, we would have more uninsured Americans than there were before Obamacare. Let's take a look at the next slide and tell you the effect that it's going to have on premiums. Again, if you just took out Obamacare and didn't replace it, within a year you would see premiums go up in the individual market, that's people who don't get their insurance through Medicaid or through work, 20 to 25%, up 50% in year two, and would nearly double within 10 years and by 2026. Let's take a look at the third screen, and I'll tell you the effect that it's going to have on the marketplace. 50% of all Americans in year one would live in areas that had no insurer participation. Remember, we do not have a public option under Obamacare. It was something that was discussed. It didn't happen. So half of all Americans would live in places with no insurer participation. And by 2026, 75% of all Americans would live in areas with no insurance participation in the public markets. And finally, this is a big one that you need to talk to your members of Congress about if they are conservatives and if you are conservative. conservatives. The effect on the federal deficit of replacing, of repealing Obamacare without replacing it is an increase to the federal deficit of $137 billion over the course of the next 10 years. It's an increase. So, Stephanie,
all right,
you look at that, you tell me, what good comes of repealing without replacing?
I'll tell you what good comes of repealing without replacing. They can say they killed Obamacare. Trump is out there tweeting up a storm.
Now I'm going to let it fail. And when it fails, then they'll replace it.
Oh, he's just, everything about him makes my skin crawl. Every single thing. We'll talk more about this, I'm sure, with Gotta Laugh in just a few minutes. In other news, they've identified the eighth person who was in that June 9th meeting with Junior and the Russians and Jared and what's his name? Paul Manafort and the rest of them. And, oh, he was only, you know, this huge Russian money launderer. He's an American. A Russian-American, but he's an American citizen, and a money launderer. It gets curiouser and curiouser. Oh, and what else? Oh, it's Made in America Week. Yeah, it's Made in America Week. But none of, but Trump is not including his own companies, his own products in Made in America Week. Just things manufactured by other people and other companies. His own? Nah, they don't count. Welcome to life in the good old USA in 2016. Ay, ay, ay. All right. I'm going to take a break. We'll get What's News out of the way. Just know that What's News was recorded this morning before the latest in the Trump care situation. But I brought you up to date on that. And Gotta Laugh is next. Stick around. It's Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Progressive Voices Network. This is what happens when I read the chat room when I'm speaking. Can't do that anymore.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Trump Care 3.0 is dead for now. On Monday night, Senators Jerry Moran of Kansas and Mike Lee of Utah simultaneously announced via Twitter that neither of them would support the latest version of the Senate bill to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. That brings the total to 4 definite no votes, in addition to Susan Collins and Rand Paul, one more than was needed to kill it.
This is essentially the worst-case scenario for Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. 2 more Republican senators, Mike Lee of Utah and Jerry Moran of Kansas, have announced that they will not support the latest version of health care reform. It effectively means this bill is dead. This is what Senator Lee said in his statement last night. Quote, after conferring with trusted experts regarding the latest version of the Consumer Freedom Amendment, I've decided I cannot support the current version of the Better Care Reconciliation Act. In addition to not repealing all the Obamacare taxes, it doesn't go far enough in lowering premiums for middle-class families, nor does it create enough free space from the most costly Obamacare regulations. And Jerry Moran's statement went even further. He said that the Senate needs to start fresh and open up the legislative process. He also said that he would not put his stamp of approval on bad policy. Now, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was already in a difficult position. He needed to hold on to all 50 votes. They had hoped that as early as today, they'd be voting on the motion to proceed to bring the bill to the floor. And it looks as though, at least for now, the Senate version of health care reform has been put on indefinite hold.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had wanted to move ahead with a vote this week, but was forced to abandon that plan after Senator John McCain underwent surgery Friday to remove a blood clot above his left eye.
And I can tell you, we hope John McCain gets better very soon, because we miss him. He's a crusty voice in Washington. Plus, we need his vote.
The CBO score expected Monday was also delayed. Also on Friday, the health insurance lobby, which had been largely silent during the fight, criticized the Cruz amendment, saying it was unworkable and would send premiums soaring and would cost millions of Americans their insurance. McConnell said in a statement Monday evening that the Senate would instead vote on a bill to simply repeal Obamacare, with a 2-year delay in which a new replacement bill would be crafted. After the news broke Monday night, the president tweeted, "Republicans should just repeal failing Obamacare now and work on a new health care plan that will start from a clean slate. Dems will join in." On Tuesday morning, he added a couple more. "We were let down by all of the Democrats and a few Republicans. Most Republicans were loyal, terrific, and worked really hard. We will return." And, "As I have always said, let Obamacare fail and then come together and do a great health care plan. Stay tuned." As if it's a reality show.
The White House has declared this Made in America Week. At Monday's off-camera briefing, Sean Spicer deflected a question about where Trump-branded products are made.
I can tell you that in some cases, there are certain supply chains or scalability that may not be available in this country. I'm not going to comment on specific products, but I will tell you that the overall arching goal, of course, though, is to grow manufacturing, to grow investment here in the United States, and to grow U.S. workers here.
Spicer then openly lied when discussing Donald Trump Jr.'s June meeting with that Russian attorney.
The president's made it clear through his tweet, and there was nothing that, as far as we know, that would lead anyone to believe that that there was anything except for a discussion about adoption of the Magnitsky Act.
Hey, Sean, it's the Magnitsky Act, not the Magnitsky Act. And Anderson Cooper points out some alternative history there.
So Sean Spicer is saying that there was nothing that would lead anyone to believe that the meeting was for any other purpose than to discuss Russian adoptions and sanctions. That answer, it ignores the chain of emails that Donald Trump Jr. himself released under pressure, saying the meeting was about information on Hillary Clinton provided by the Russian government. Sean Spicer's answer is as if all the revelations this past week about who was at the meeting, who they claimed to represent, and what was said simply never happened at all. Keeping him honest, that defense didn't even work two Saturdays ago. It started crumbling the next day. Tonight, it's just demonstrably false. And the president's own tweet, most politicians would have gone to a meeting like the one Don Jr. attended in order to get information on an opponent. That's politics. Even that contradicts Sean Spicer's alternative history. The president himself is making it plain Donald Trump Jr. wasn't there to learn more about sanctions and Russian orphans. Donald Trump Jr. attended in order to get info on an opponent.
And finally, as we hit the six-month mark of the Trump administration this Thursday, his numbers aren't looking good.
President Donald Trump's approval ratings have plummeted in one poll to the lowest ever recorded in a president in his first 6 months of office. A Bloomberg national poll has President Trump's job approval rating at 40%. While Gallup puts the president rating at 38%, and the Washington Post ABC News poll finds 36% of Americans approve of the job Trump is doing, 58% disapprove. Now, with 48% saying they disapprove strongly, a level never reached by former presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, and reached only in the second term of George W. Bush in this poll. And on health care, that Washington Post ABC poll shows half of all Americans prefer the current health care law. About one quarter want the Republican option being pushed right now. 17% would prefer something else altogether. I got
good news. And that's a bit of What's News for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate What's News, check out The Nicole Sandler Show, Tuesday through Friday from 3 to 4 Eastern at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener-supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Oh, all right, we hit a little extra audio in there by mistake. My computer acting up. Stop it, computer. All right, I got a laugh. Hello, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can. It sounds like your computer is acting up today, too.
I am so mad at my computer, but wait a minute.
Whoops.
You're talking to a robot. What am I saying? You've reached the John McCain's Big Hospital Stay Hotline.
Oh, okay.
Press 1 if you think that when they ran tests in John McCain's head, they should have also tested for the GOP insanity gene.
Yeah.
Oh, I could hear the beep. Press 2 if you think McCain's ability to have his health care cover his annual physical suggests he had a common Republican pre-existing condition, wealthy white male privilege.
Yeah.
Press 3 if you think the removal of McCain's blood clot should have been accompanied by a bullshitectomy.
Yes.
Have a nice day.
Oh, bullshitectomy. A lot of them on that side could use it. To be honest, a lot of them on both sides could use it right about now.
Absolutely. They could all afford it because they all get swell health care.
They do.
They don't care what happens.
No.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe this stay put a little I don't know, something to John McCain, because he actually released a statement, which I do not have in front of me. But his statement said something along the lines of, now is time to, you know, get back to the procedure that's worked in this, you know, body for 240 years. And we need to do things in a bipartisan way. And we need to do on committees and debate and have amendments and, you know, sounding like what a U.S. senator should sound like.
Exactly. Yeah. More and more are sort of edging around that right now. I know that the three vaginas would probably go along with that. And then that you mentioned earlier, the ones who voted, who said they would be against repeal. And then there are some others that have started making noises like that. So, you know, Trump. Yeah, that's right.
That
Trump wants to just sabotage the Affordable Care Act into oblivion. And that is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard, because what he's basically saying is, I don't care if people die. I don't care if people get sicker. I would like to just destroy what they have to make myself look important and then pass something with my name on it.
That's all. That's all he wants to do. And I love, I pulled actually a tweet. I was going to save it for TweetSpot, but it'll fit here. I'm scrolling from Ian Millhiser at Think Progress.
Yeah.
He tweeted out, just so you know, at Senate Majority Leader, rename and pretend is still a viable option.
Yeah, I retweeted that one, too. I thought that was a really good tweet.
It's great, because it's all about the name. They want Obama obliterated from the history books. They want any accomplishments he might have made gone, which is interesting, because very quietly today, Trump reaffirmed the Iran nuclear deal.
Yes, he did. But he also added more sanctions that were un-nuclear related, because he was mad at Obama for not being harder on them in the deal, which had nothing to do with other sanctions. I wish they would just, you know, stop lying to us.
Uh-huh.
The sanctions were, the deal was only about nukes. It was not about anything else. And one of the big criticisms of Obama's nuclear Iran deal was that he didn't do more. Well, he was only addressing the nuclear issue.
That's right.
Period.
That's all that deal was about.
Right. And meanwhile, back to what we were saying about Trump and you know, obliterating all things Obama.
Mm-hmm.
With Trump, all it's about for him right now is a win. That's all he cares about, is notching up a line on his wall.
Yep.
Because he doesn't have any.
Yep. Listen to how eloquent he is here. You know, just the way the man speaks. Here, this is from last night.
We have to repeal Obamacare, and we will end up replacing it with something that is going to be outstanding. Far better than failing Obamacare.
We're
going to get that done, and I think we're going to surprise a lot of people, but they're pushing very hard. The Republican senators are great people.
They're great people.
But they have a lot of different states.
Some states need that.
But we're getting it together. It's going to happen.
And it's going to happen.
Right, Mike?
Yep. I can hear it.
Yeah, because he's just so eloquent. Wait, he's got a caveat at the end.
When it does happen, that will be a big day in America.
It'll be a big day in America. A big day. Boy, he's so fucking eloquent.
Oh, please. Today, his stupidity outdid itself. First, he said, did you already cover it? And I think we're probably in that position where we'll let Obamacare fail. We're not going to own it. I'm not going to own it. I can tell you the Republicans are not going to own it. We'll let Obamacare fail. And then the Democrats are going to come to us, which they already have. And they are going to say, how do we fix it? How do we fix it? And how do we come up with a new plan? Okay, first of all, the Democrats have been offering ideas. I've watched three at least that I can think of on TV come up with ideas that are tangible.
Mm-hmm.
So they've already tried.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans have not included them, so he is absolutely full of it. But here's my favorite thing he said. We have 52 people. We have no Democrat support, which is really something that should be said. You should have Democrats voting for a great plan for a lot of people. We had no Democrat support. You had 52 people. You had four no's. I think this is a typo. I think it's now we might have another one, someone in there. But the vote would have been, if you look at it, 48-4. Oh, God, he's stupid. That's a pretty impressive vote by any standard, and yet you have a vote of 48-4 or something like that, and you need more. Does he even – he has no idea what he's talking about.
He has
none.
Not a clue. Just doesn't have
not
a clue.
Not a clue. It's amazing. First of all, they have the majority in both houses and the courts, okay, in the Supreme Court, and pretty much stack the courts around the country, but – let's just go with the Supreme.
Right.
So all three branches of government are dominated by Republicans, and he has the nerve to say that it's Democratic obstruction? There is no obstruction because
there's no
we don't
filibuster.
Have the means to
right. There's no it wasn't even necessary to have a filibuster because they're trying to do it through reconciliation, which only requires 50 votes. Mike Pence would be the tiebreaker and he can't get 50. So 48-4 is nothing to brag about. It's like he bragged, you know, during What's News, I had the polling stuff in there read by Mika Brzezinski. And one of the polls they had him like at 36%. And he's like, well, he rounded up to 40. That's not bad. He's got the worst polling numbers of any president in recorded history at this time in their term.
Right. In the 70s, in one poll, it said in the 70 years of polling, well,
right.
He's only 71.
Right.
So as long as he's been alive, there's never been worse polling for a president at this time. He said it's rounded up to 40. It doesn't work that way.
No.
That's not how polls work.
No.
That's why they have plus or minuses. That's why every point counts. That's why if you're 2 points ahead in a presidential poll during an election, those 2 points matter.
That's right. Aye.
God, he's stupid. He is so willfully stupid. He's an embarrassment. The world hates him. Everybody but his base hates him. And basically what he's doing here, when he says all these really stupid things, is basically he's rounding up his base. He's trying to appeal to his base to keep him going because once he loses them, he is completely without life
support.
Hopefully
he'll lose them because those numbers are barely budging. I mean, they're really not moving down very far at all, which is frightening. The people who defend him defend him to the hilt. You know, like he can do no wrong. And it's like he said, I can go. I wish I had pulled this audio and I don't remember where I heard it or I would have. One of the shows did a whole montage of him saying things like, you know, the base, you know, you guys don't leave me. You're the most loyal out there. I could go down Fifth Avenue and shoot someone and you wouldn't leave. Yeah. They had a whole series of them. It was funny. But it was really frightening at the same time.
Right. Well, what he's doing now, because if his base loses their health care due to their sabotage, or if something happens where the Republicans can pull something off and they lose their health care, he'll just blame the Democrats. And he's setting that up now. He's setting that up in a really strong, you know, intense way right now.
Yes.
Tweet after tweet is blaming the Democrats so that his base will then turn around and point fingers at us if he fails.
Right.
If he
fails. Here's the thing.
Failed, but...
Yeah. Jennifer Granholm, you know, former governor of Michigan, tweeted out, real Donald Trump saying let Obamacare fail is raw cruelty to those who voted for him. Direct hurt to 30 million people. Mend it, don't end it. And that's what you were saying before, Laffy, is that, you know, Chuck Schumer got on the floor of the Senate this morning after McConnell spoke. And, you know, here, I've got a clip of him. But he's saying, you know, we'll work with you. But what the Democrats are saying, you've got to take repeal off the table, and that's the deal breaker.
Make no mistake about it. Passing repeal without a replacement would be a disaster. Our health care system would implode. Millions would lose coverage. Coverage for millions more would be diminished. Our health care system would be in such a deep hole that repair would be nearly impossible. In fact, passing repeal and having it go into effect 2 years later is in many ways worse than the Republican health care bill that was just rejected by my Republican colleagues. It's like if our health care system was a patient who came in and needed some medicine. The Republicans proposed surgery. The operation was a failure. Now Republicans are proposing a second surgery that will surely kill the patient. Medicine is needed, bipartisan medicine. Not a second surgery. We urge our Republican colleagues to change their tune.
You know, the thing that really gets me is the rubber glue mentality, because everything the Republicans keep saying, the Democrats won't work with us. They haven't been invited to work with them. They were not invited to a single meeting. There hasn't been a single hearing. There hasn't been, you know, there have been no amendments allowed. There's been nothing. The Democrats got the bill the same day we got the bill, right? And so they haven't had the opportunity, and they're saying, we will work with you. We want to fix what's the system that's in place now. But there hasn't even been a meeting of any minds. I would love to see some of the more moderate Republicans maybe reach out to someone like Bernie Sanders, who on this program a week ago said he would work with them.
Right. No. And you know how long Democrats have been offering to work with Republicans on health care? Since President Obama. Yep. Back in, 2009, went to visit them and had a meeting with the Republicans, extended his hand and said, you give me a better idea, I'll listen to
it. Well, not only that. But it wasn't only that. Throughout the whole, again, people don't remember because the Republicans give their own alternative facts. The Affordable Care Act was first written in three separate committees, written in the committees with both Democratic and Republican input. And then they were amended in the committees. The Republicans put up amendments that they voted for. The only reason those amendments got in was to get those Republican votes. Then when it came down to voting for the final bill that included those amendments, they all voted against it. But we hear, Democrats pushed it through without a single Republican vote. You're right. Not a single Republican vote, but there were Republican amendments in there that were only there because they put them in committee.
Exactly. And since then, the mantra that Obama kept coming up with is, if you have an idea, come forward. Yep. In other words, we have extended our invitation forever to work together with Republicans. And since Trump was elected, if you want to call it that, we've been saying the same thing. You know, you guys, let's come together and work on this together, but you're not letting us. They have said this over and over again on TV, on the radio, in the newspapers, you name it, they've been saying it. So I don't know why. Is that message coming across? I'm not sure.
No, because you know what? We have this disinformation campaign going on, and it's only getting worse. You have Fox so-called News, which is anything but news. It's a propaganda network. You have Sinclair now, who is buying out all the Tribune stations, which is going to be an even bigger network than Fox, which is you know, presenting opinion and made-up shit as fact, as news. You know, it was one thing, and if we had a Democratic government in place and an FCC that cared, on Sinclair, it wouldn't be so easy to catapult the propaganda, because the FCC has jurisdiction over over-the-air television and radio, but not cable. So Fox could call themselves news while they're making shit up, but an over-the-air TV station would be subject to losing its license. But now we have an FCC under Republican rule who doesn't give a shit. They're fine with the propaganda, and they're fine with putting out the bullshit and calling it news. So we
absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're in really, really dangerous times right now.
No, we seriously are. And plus, there's another danger that's tangentially related here, and that is there are so many Republican states now that we're only, one or two states away from their being able to change the Constitution or try to change the Constitution.
Oh, God.
I mean, think about that. So, yeah, we, you know, and here's another thing. Everyone says, "Oh, wait till 2018. Oh, you know, we're gonna take over." No, I don't believe we necessarily will take over the House. I think we have a shot, but people are taking it for granted. The way they took it for granted that Trump wasn't going to win this election.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
I said that's right. That's right.
Yeah. People, oh, yeah.
People,
yeah.
There's, you know, the Kris Kobach thing. They're gonna try to get you off the voter rolls. You know, there was a little stunt that the Trump administration pulled last week, where some of the early information that had been turned over to them was somehow, mistakenly released without redacting the personal information of the voters on those rolls. So.
Yeah.
Right. So people are either pulling themselves off the voter rolls so that their information doesn't get out in the public, or they're being purged from the voter rolls. Either way, it's now more important than ever, if you care about the future of the nation and you don't want to see it turn into this right wing autocracy, that you make sure that you're registered to vote, that your voter registration is valid, that you're on the rolls, and that you have the ID that you need to vote in the state that you're at. I mean, start working on it now, because it's going to get really, really ugly.
Exactly. I mean, there are people out there, you know, I've had arguments online with Republicans about this where they say, well, what's so hard about getting a voter ID? Everyone should have one. Well, sure, there's no problem with everybody having a voter ID if they can afford one and if they can access one. If you don't have a car, you don't have a driver's license, mm-hmm. or you don't have a way to the DMV or whatever agency is out there helping people get some kind of ID, if you don't have your original birth certificate, if you were born through a midwife in an area that, you know, didn't
not in a hospital,
give you a birth certificate,
right?
Then yeah, how can you possibly? Oh, yeah, just access your voter ID, and you need a picture ID, and you need a certain kind of ID. You can't
exactly.
just use your,
like in
you know,
Texas.
Whatever.
In Texas, your student ID, even if you go to a state yeah. university, your student ID will not work, but your gun
right.
license will. I mean, this
right.
it's all skewed to make sure Democrats have a harder time voting. That's what it's about.
Exactly.
They don't want you to vote. So if you're serious about this, I'm glad people are making phone calls and going and doing sit-ins at their senators' offices and stuff. It's the only reason we've pushed the repeal of the Affordable Care Act off this far. And
right.
I don't think they're going to give up. I think it's going to be an ongoing effort that we have to keep making every fucking day. But if
oh,
you
absolutely.
Want to vote in 2018 and 2020, you got to stay on top of it and make sure that you have all the tools you need, meaning the right ID. And it may take you that long. So get working on it now.
You know, the problem is that people don't hear us because they're unable to. They're working.
Yep.
Maybe they don't even have a working television or
yep.
they don't have access or time to
the
listen
internet,
to the radio
right?
or stream something.
Yep.
So they are unaware.
Well,
that
that's why everybody
right now.
Has to tell their friends. This has to be,
right.
I mean, this has got to be top of mind. This has got to be every discussion at every, you know, dinner party, at every gathering with your friends, at the dog park even. I mean, I know it's a difficult topic, because you oftentimes don't know people that you meet. You don't know their political affiliations. But if there's any inkling that people that you meet are sympathetic, this is a conversation we have to have.
Exactly. And then meantime, even if someone does have an ID and everybody's set to go, then the Republicans do things like send out faulty information
yep.
saying your polling time has been changed to the next day. Or if you show up, you'll be intimidated out of voting. You don't want to even show up because there are people watching you. And if you dare show the wrong kind of ID, you may be kicked out or arrested. You know, so there's all kinds of intimidation factors, all kinds of voter suppression factors other than voter ID.
That's right.
That people are up against, which is, you know, it's criminal. Anyway, you want to go to Tweet Spot, because I'm working myself up into a tizzy here.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Welcome to my Tweet Spot.
That always cracks me up.
It makes me smile every time.
Yeah. All right. So Andrew Kirel, I hope I'm saying that right. He's the senior editor at the Daily Beast. He was collecting headlines that I couldn't send you, except I did, but I wanted to send you the screen grabs, but I couldn't do that because my computer is screwing me up. But anyway, one of the headlines was from 2016, and it's from antiwar.com, quote, "Is Trump the peace candidate?" Then there was another headline from 2016, "Donald Trump's conservative anti-war pedigree."
What?
And then, yeah, and then there was July 17th, 2017 headline, "Trump's air war has already killed more than 2,000 civilians. And Andrew Kirel's comment was, life comes at you roughly at the speed of an F-16's guided missile.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, he is not the peace candidate. I remember Democrats saying, well, he'd be better than Hillary because she's a war hawk, which I tend to agree with, that she was more hawkish. But Trump is not a war hawk. Well, nobody could count on that. So they were dead wrong saying he would be a peacenik.
Yeah, Trump is the guy who gave his military, his defense department, like, free reign. You do what you want to do. You don't need my, I don't need to sign off on every mission you do. It's like, you're commander-in-chief.
And not only that, he's the one that said, I know more than the general.
Of course. Of course he does.
He's handing it off to the generals. Yeah. Anyway, Washington Post. Okay, so Trump officials ordered 15,000 new visas for seasonal low-wage workers who work at fisheries, get this, summer resorts, and golf courses.
Yeah, these are the H-2B visas, not to be confused with the H-1B visas, which we've discussed many times on this program for highly skilled workers, of which there are plenty here. The companies just don't want to pay the salaries. These are for low-wage workers, and there are plenty of them here. But Trump says he can't find people to work at Mar-a-Lago, so he needs
new visas.
Yes.
So NBC's Brad Jaffe added, as Trump targets H-1B visas, which you were just saying, it's notable he's allowing more H-2B visas, which you were just saying, which Trump businesses like Mar-a-Lago use to hire foreign
workers.
Right. So, yes, anything that benefits Trump. And then my buddy T. Payne, who's an activist, he said, soak it all in, Trumpers. You got played.
Yeah, no kidding.
So,
but they won't admit it.
Whatever helps Trump.
They won't admit it.
I'm sorry?
They won't admit it.
No. Never in a million years. Are you kidding me? No. The last thing he'd do is admit failure of any kind or admit that he's out for himself. I mean, as you were saying earlier, I think it was on your recorded thing, your What's News? I think it was. Ivanka Trump has, or maybe it was in chat, has zero American-made products, right?
None.
Anything that helps the Trumps.
Wait, let me play this for you. Let me play this for you because it's another Ali Velshi thing. It's where Trump products are made. You ready?
I love this one.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
President Trump is unveiling his Made in America theme for the week later today. The administration will promote products manufactured here in the United States. The irony of it all is that most of Donald Trump's own products are not made in America. His shirts are made in China, Bangladesh, Honduras, and Vietnam. His suits are made, not the ones he wears, the ones he sells with his brand in it, are made in Indonesia and Mexico. Donald Trump eyeglasses, branded eyeglasses, I bet you got a pair of those, are made in China. Donald Trump's mirrors, vases, wall decor, kitchen items, and lighting are made in China as well. Let's take a look at hotel pens and toiletries for the Trump properties. They are made in China and in Taiwan. And the natural spring water and bedding comforts are made in America. Imagine that. We've actually got something made in America here. We can use that for the week. Let's take a look at Ivanka Trump's clothing line. Zero products and Ivanka Trump's clothing line are made in America. The rest are made in China, Indonesia, Vietnam, India, Bangladesh, and Ethiopia.
Amazing. Zero.
Amazing.
None
I
of
just,
hers.
I just got a news alert. It says, mysterious, quote, China city developer is now one of President Trump's biggest donors. Just a side issue. Okay, so yesterday at the White House lying session, which was secret because he couldn't have cameras there because then it might show facial expressions and flop sweat, Spicy was back and he said, it's not appropriate for me to stand up here and talk about a business, but POTUS Ivanka retains financial stakes, right?
Yep.
And Brad Jaffe says, not only did Trump not divest from his business, he's visited them 54 times as POTUS and tweeted 8 times this weekend promoting an event at one of them.
Yes, and
so,
of course, the head of the Office of Governmental Ethics resigned effective this weekend, and of course, Trump's and he's he's speaking out. He's been there through a number of different administrations of both parties. He's nonpartisan, but it's all about government ethics. And he said this administration is doing things that are just unheard of. And he's raising a red flag. And of course, Trump's word, he's a showboater. He's a showboater.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's a show. He also said in an article I read yesterday that we're becoming a laughing stock now because of this.
Yes.
You know, the rest of the world can't trust him. So they are now starting to rely upon each other instead of the United States for leadership, which is really good. That's great. MAGA, MAGA, MAGA. Okay. So Spicer said, there was nothing, as far as we know, that would lead anyone to believe that the Donald Jr. Meeting wasn't about adoption policy. By the way, adoption policy is shorthand for loosening up sanctions, getting rid of sanctions, because mm-hmm. that's the
Magnitsky Act. Or what did Sean Spicer call it? The Magnitsky Act or something like that?
Magnitsky Act. You know who else called it that? Trump's own lawyer.
Yeah.
He's called it, on every Sunday talk show, he called it the Magnitsky Act.
Did he really?
Glenn Thrush said in caps, and he doesn't often use caps.
Right.
Except for the part where Don Jr. himself released emails admitting he took the meeting because he was promised dirt on Hillary Clinton.
Right.
So no, nothing would lead anyone to believe that Don Jr.'s meeting wasn't about the adoption policy, right?
Right.
And then Kyle Griffin chimed in. He's from The Last Word. He's a producer. And he said, except the president's tweet this morning said it was to get info on an opponent. And then the Los Angeles Times national correspondent Matt Pierce added, the subject line of the email, the Don Jr. email to Kushner and Manafort, was, quote, regarding Russia, Clinton, private and confidential.
Right.
So they can just try to lie all they want, but it's in print.
I know it, but this is the gaslighting. This is where the gaslighting comes in. It's opposite world. It's like, we know it. It's there. And they're saying don't look over there. This is what we're telling you. And these are our own facts. And this is our storyline. And it doesn't matter that you know differently. This is the line coming from the White House. And that's how it is. And that's the way it is.
And their supporters believe them.
Yes. Or they go along with it.
Or they go along with it, because who wants to admit defeat and who wants to have a chance of a Democrat getting into the White House, right? As David Frum said, we have arrived at the official presidential endorsement of collusion with foreign espionage agencies against political opponents. He's right.
He is right.
How sad is that? I have an irrelevant tweet.
Okay.
Because it's a Trump care tweet, but what the heck? Min Kim from Politico, I hope I didn't mangle that, she said, not going to tonight's White House health care meeting. Okay, so.
But this was from last night.
A meeting.
This was from last night.
Last night.
Right.
Right. I'm reading her exact quotes, but yes.
Right.
This is last night where Trump invited people friendly to Trump care to try to, you know, figure out some strategy, but not going were key undecideds Portman, Capito, Lee, Gardner, Flake, and Bill Cassidy and some others.
Right,
so,
because the meeting was only for people who agreed with him, and that's why they were caught completely off guard when the Mike Lee,
yep.
Jerry Moron tweets came out. They had no idea it was coming, and it just blindsided them.
Exactly, which was a thing of beauty, actually.
It was.
You know, here he was being a big hotshot, holding his private meetings with his palsy-walsies. And while he's doing that, he's being completely undermined by people who say, you know, we really don't care. We're not interested in what you have to say. We're doing what we want to do. Now, you know, I'm not applauding every one of these people, because people like Rand Paul want to make it worse. They want it.
Rand Paul was one of the people who one in Schumer's statement, he rattled off the names of a few of the sitting senators today who voted against the straight repeal in 2015. Rand Paul was mm-hmm. one of them. Here's the names he rattled
Cassidy,
off.
Cassidy, Alexander, Collins, Corker, Cotton, Hatch, Isaacson, Moran, McCain, Murkowski, Paul.
So Moran and Paul were both, he said that was a partial list, Moran as well. So they voted against the straight repeal in 2015, and they're there for it now.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
That's interesting. Brad Jaffe today, okay, so Donald Trump said in a tweet, as I have always said, let Obamacare fail and then come together and do a great health care plan. Stay tuned. And Brad Jaffe said, who's from NBC, problems aside, quote, let Obamacare fail, unquote, is a striking way for a president, for a POTUS, to talk about something millions of poor and sick depend on, they would suffer. And that's what I was saying before, that Trump is willing to let people die and suffer to get his name on something and to strike a win.
Yeah. What was the other thing? I don't know if you still have it handy, where Trump said, you know what, let Obamacare fail. It's on him. The Dems own it or something like that.
Yeah, here it is. He says, I've been saying, okay, I'm trying to find the beginning of this. I've been saying that, Mike. I know you'll agree. Let Obamacare fail and it will be a lot easier. And I think we're probably in that position where we'll let Obamacare fail. We're not going to own it. I'm not going to own it. I can tell you the Republicans are not going to own it. We'll let Obamacare fail, and then the Democrats are going to come to us and they're going to say, how do we fix it? How do we fix it? Or how do we come up with a new plan? We'll see what happens, but I'm disappointed because for so many years I've been hearing repeal in place, and he goes on and on and on.
Okay, well
in another tweet the other day, he said he'd be angry. No, it was an interview. He said he would be angry if it failed.
Right.
I guess he's pissed.
Right. But the part where he said, you know, the Dems will own it, let it fail, the Dems own it, it's on them, not me, basically. Well, I love a lot of journalists now are going back, I guess through LexisNexis is how you can find old tweets.
Yeah.
And they have been retweeting the hell out of Donald Trump's old tweets. And Dave Weigel from the Washington Post pulled out one from November 8th, 2013. Donald Trump tweeted, leadership, whatever happens, you're responsible. If it doesn't happen, you're responsible.
Oops
is
right. Oh, do you know that the Trump Organization or whoever, you know, the White House scrubbed old videos, old YouTubes of Trump, the things that he used to say into the camera.
Oh, really?
And for public consumption, they scrubbed them today.
Just today they did that.
I think it was just today. I put out a tweet. It was probably a retweet, or I'd be able to find it easier. But yeah, they did that. I'll have to look it up and maybe I can tweet it to you later. But yeah, they're just, you know, anything Trump said doesn't matter anymore. It's just what he's saying today and this minute and this second because his brain cells don't work.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Let's see. It says here. Oh, here's something that's interesting. Oh, I'm sorry. I think you're talking. What do you think?
No, go ahead. I'm just.
Oh, okay.
In amazement is all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my jaw hasn't come up off the floor in 6 months or make that 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So Darlene Superville, or Supervie, if you're French, a White House reporter from the AP, she tweeted out, ex-POTUS campaign aide tied to Russia investigation is using his kids' college funds to pay lawyers. And the quote is from, because I picked it up, the full quote, Caputo, it's Mike Caputo.
Right.
Is it Mike or Mark? Oh, I'm always getting those mixed up and he's going to kill me.
I think it's Michael.
Yeah, I think it's Michael. Is being represented by former New York State Attorney General Bacco and said he's liquidating his children's college funds to pay the bills.
Ouch.
That's painful. You're right. Ouch is exactly, exactly right. Now, for all those people who keep saying, yay, we won, let's celebrate on this, you know, repeal law.
No, we didn't.
Okay, Andy Slavitt, is it Slavitt? He's the former
head of the CMS, right? Of the Center for Medicare and Medicaid,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, he used to be a senior advisor for Obama, and he tweeted out, Republican House leaders, this is after the three women said they're not going to vote for repeal, to bring it up. Republican House leaders are already whispering that the Senate will take health care up again after the recess. And then he put a hashtag, what part of NFW, no fucking way, don't you hear?
Right.
Question mark. So,
right.
Perfectly
you know,
said.
The thing that we should bring up again is the Affordable Care Act was originally a Republican idea. It came right from the Heritage Foundation. And if it didn't have Obama's name on it, this is exactly what they would be pushing. They just don't want it because it came through Obama and it came through the Democrats.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, by the way, a fun fact that Rachel Maddow brought up last night is all those hats that Trump is now selling for his next big campaign for 2020. He's using those funds to pay his legal bills. That's
really?
Why he started his campaign immediately. He knew he'd have legal bills.
How is that possible? I can't imagine that. I think the election law doesn't allow that.
Well, that's what everybody was reporting. I mean, people were commenting on it, and somehow that's working for them. So don't ask me. I just read you the stuff.
Wow.
I don't know nothing. But anyway, yeah, so I'm looking at somebody has come up with a hat, Make America Native Again. That's a good one.
Oh, God. It's so sad. It really is sad, the way the rest of the world looks at us.
I know. I know. It's embarrassing. It's scary. I can't look at this TweetDeck thing. It's driving me crazy. I'm going to get off of it. But here's another thing. So my computer stopped working in various weird ways. And one of the ways it stopped working is it's not letting me bring up Firefox. It just won't open. And what I use TweetDeck on Opera, like, so it's a separate window from when I use Chrome. I don't have to always have it open. I can just have it down on my taskbar. Well, now for some reason I can't access everything I want to on Opera. So I'm now only on Chrome, and TweetDeck on Chrome is craziness. I can't explain it, but it won't stop working. It's just like the tweets keep dropping really fast no matter what my settings are. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting off of it. I'm getting a new computer today. That's what I decided.
Oh, good. Yay. That's fun.
Point. Yeah. Well, then it takes you 2 weeks to order, to get everything working, right?
Yep, I know.
You got to put all your programs on it. And,
Yeah, but then...
Native American... It was... The Make America Native Again is from a group of Native Americans. It was not a
oh, okay. Okay. Well, that, you know, because, it could have been something different. I don't know if you saw it.
Yes, it could have.
An acquaintance of ours co-authored a piece that's up at Alternet titled John Stewart Should Run for President. Now, I don't literally believe John Stewart should run for president. But, you know, think about what a foil he'd be for Donald Trump. What a great, you know, an articulate, smart, somebody who knows the issues. I mean, I think we need to get away from celebrity politicians and get people who have, you know, lived their lives in public service and who understand the intricacies of running a government. But I tweeted it out, so it should be on my Twitter feed and on my Facebook page. It's a really smart guy. Saperstein wrote that.
I saw in our emails that I saw it pop up. I just didn't get a chance to read it.
Yeah.
I mean, entertainment value and putting him in his place value would be great. I mean, Jon Stewart controlled the hell out of Trump.
Oh, I'd love to see the debate. I'd love to see a debate.
Oh, I would too. But the thing is, he gives a little more than I want to see him give.
He does. He did.
Yeah. When you said Bill O'Reilly on,
I didn't even watch those because I didn't want to see Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah. Oh well, I watched every single night, and I did, and I watched him also. Remember back when he did the when what was the name of that show on CNN where the two people would just argue back and forth? Just went out of my head.
Counterpoint.
No, not Counterpoint, but it was like that.
Or Crossfire. Or something like that.
Crossfire.
Yes.
Crossfire. And he went on CNN and said, why are you having this show on?
Yep. And then the show ended.
Huh? Yeah.
And then the show ended.
And then it ended. Yeah. Yes. Right. I'm sorry. My phone is not the best for reception. Sorry. Well, the problem I find with him is that I want somebody who's willing to get up and fight hard. And if Jon Stewart were a politician, maybe he'd change a politician.
I think he would.
Yeah.
Anyway, we will likely never know. And in the long run, that's a good thing. Although, if we're stuck with Donald Trump, maybe our best, you know, defense would be a Jon Stewart. Anyway, with that, we're out of time. We made it through the hour. Gotta Laugh.
Find her on
the Twitter. Is that Gotta Laugh? And here, hanging with us every Tuesday. Thank you, Laffy.
Thank you, too. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye. Tomorrow, it's an interview with Nancy McLean and the book Democracy in Chains. It's about, you know, the right-wing crazy roots of what we're up against now. It should be a great conversation. Thank you for listening, as always. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye.
It's Tuesday, July 18, 2017.
This happened so quickly, crews had no opportunity to really fight the fire.
Raging wildfires in British Columbia forced nearly 40,000 to evacuate. Trump administration reduces royalty payments on offshore drilling. Energy Department's electric grid study contradicts claims by the Energy Secretary. Plus,
clean air, clean water, clean soil, that's where we get our food. It is what we live from.
Catholic nuns build outdoor chapel to block natural gas pipeline.
They're having none of it. All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
We have nearly 100 years worth of natural gas and more than 250 years worth of clean, beautiful coal.
And several million years of actually clean, actually beautiful sunshine, which you would know, Mr. President, if you looked up every now and again from your meetings with the fossil fuel industry. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, I don't know that this could possibly be a good omen, but I see that tropical storm Dawn is now forming in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yes, it is.
That can't be good.
The National Hurricane Center announced Monday that tropical storm Dawn has formed in the Atlantic Ocean. It's not Donald, but Dawn. Hurricane names for the 2017 season were set way back in 2006, so it's only a coincidence that the name is similar to the current occupant of the White House.
That won't keep him from going after the National Weather Service, however, if tropical storm Dawn becomes Hurricane Dawn and wipes out the East Coast.
Well, that seems unlikely. The Hurricane Center says so far, Tropical Storm Dawn is small and not particularly well organized.
They didn't really say that, did they?
Yes, they did.
Oh, man. What else do you have for us today that is less ironic?
In Canada.
All gone. Yeah, it's all gone, eh?
Just 1 year after catastrophic wildfires destroyed much of the town of Fort McMurray in Alberta's tar sands region, now next door in British Columbia, more than 36,000 people were evacuated on Sunday to escape wildfires driven by heat and high winds that have already destroyed an as-yet unknown number of homes in and around southern British Columbia. There are now 160 active wildfires in British Columbia alone right now, and wildfires over in Alberta have closed parts of Banff and Kootenay National Parks. Officials are warning it's shaping up to be yet another record wildfire season.
And yet they continue to dig that dirty tar sands oil out of Alberta?
Yes, they do.
And it will soon be heading to the U.S. via the Keystone XL pipeline?
Yes, it will.
Fantastic.
Bloomberg News has obtained a leaked draft of an electric grid reliability study that concludes that the rise of renewable energy does not undermine the reliability of our electric grid. It directly contradicts Energy Secretary Rick Perry, who ordered this study to question whether clean energy policies are unfairly pushing out polluting coal plants. The draft, written by Department of Energy staff, concludes renewables pose no threat and, quote, the power system is even more reliable today. The question now is how much of that draft will survive changes made by political appointees.
They can still change it before it gets released, but thanks to Bloomberg, we now know what the actual scientists think.
The Interior Department announced its first offshore oil and gas lease sale, opening up more than 70 million acres in the Gulf of Mexico for offshore drilling. And to sweeten the deal, the Trump administration reduced royalty rates paid by oil and gas companies for fossil fuels extracted from the public's holdings, claiming that reduced royalty rates are needed to encourage drilling at a time of low oil prices and help developers get a better return on their investment.
And help screw over the American taxpayer.
But some good news. In the House of Representatives, 46 Republicans bucked their leadership last week and joined with Democrats to defeat an anti-science amendment to the annual defense authorization bill. It would have barred the Defense Department from reporting on the impacts of climate change on military facilities.
So that is not barred. The military can still report on the menace of the climate crisis.
Indeed.
Good.
Thanks to Republicans.
Thank you, Republicans.
Finally, in Pennsylvania, an order of Catholic nuns has built an outdoor chapel to block a natural gas pipeline across their land, saying the pipeline is a violation of their long and deeply held religious beliefs and reverence for creation. Pipeline company Williams is suing to use eminent domain to seize land owned by the Sisters of the Adorers of the Blood of Christ to use for the Atlantic Sunrise Pipeline in order to export fracked natural gas overseas. In an interview with the broadcast, local Mennonite pastor Melinda Clatterbuck, a co-founder of the group Lancaster Against Pipelines, which has joined the nuns, said they will block them as long as they can.
If they gain that land possession, the community of believers are going to be in that chapel prayerfully protesting when Williams tries to take it over.
You go, ladies. I want to see the Trump administration take down those nuns in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Then I saw her face.